We're going to start with some meditative music, and we're going to sing for you today the ancient language of Aramaic, the original Lord's Prayer of Jesus Christ in Aramaic. Avund bashman nikada shomo tete malkuta nehwe sviana ekanad bashmaya apara. This beautiful evocative language is the Syriac version of Aramaic, and it begins with O birther of the cosmos, mother, father, birther of the cosmos, let your light shine in me. So as we sing this, we invite you to meditate on those words. O God, let your light shine in me.
Wow, wasn't that beautiful? Could you give Desert Rose another? So beautiful, thank you. Sister Jayanti is joining us this morning. Many of you may know her or have seen her performances and classes. She is the director of the Brahma Kumaris in the UK and Europe. She is the face of the western part of the Brahma Kumaris for many, many, many years. And I had the good fortune to take the Braha BK knowledge in London in 1975, along with a few of our Peace of Mind team. And Sister Jayanti's clear communication of quite deep and profound aspects of knowledge, and particularly her way of meditation. So Sister Jayanti will answer any questions that you may have, but at the end of her talk, and then before the Q&A, if there are any, Jayanti will take us all beyond sound in a lovely meditation. So Sister Jayanti, thank you very much for joining us.
Om Shanti and good morning. Thank you, Michael. Or was it Joe? It was Michael. So, great pleasure to be here with all of you. And we heard some beautiful meditative music. And so rather than talk about experiencing soul consciousness, what I'd like to do is to take us into the experience of soul consciousness. But it's an exploration on three different levels. And bear with me and travel with me, and we'll go through the journey together. Is that okay? I go inwards, and I come to the awareness of the shining star, the light that I am, shining in the center of the forehead. In this awareness of I, the soul, I am the master, the sovereign of all my faculties, physical and internal, the master of my eyes, so what I see and how I interpret it is that which is supporting my spiritual journey. I see everyone, but yet I don't allow myself to be distracted by any aspect of the physical form, but I stay focused on I, the inner being, and I see each individual as the being of light. My connection with each individual is a connection of the soul. I, the soul, connecting with other souls. And in this awareness, there's a kinship, an eternal bond of dignity and respect that links us together as part of the human family. I hear that being the master of my senses, I hear the music of the crickets, but it's not a distraction. It's just a beautiful background noise that nature has provided. In the distance, I hear the birds reminding me of this intricate web of life, but I stay focused what I need to hear and understand. I am the master. And not only now, as we sit together in reflective mode, but I can continue being the master when I choose to walk and move and interact, when I eat, when I do whatever I need to do. I can still be the sovereign of the self, the master, the soul shining in the forehead. I go inside again, and I see myself. I see my thoughts. At this moment, very focused on the awareness of the soul. I check my feelings. Am I content? Am I peaceful? Am I comfortable? I go a bit deeper and check, what are my beliefs? Do I believe that I am a soul? I have a body, but am I a soul? I go even deeper, and I see bits of my personality. I need to go very, very deep within to truly see myself. But now I'm grateful that my personality is such that it brought me here to a place of spirituality, a place of learning. I could have chosen to go elsewhere, but I'm grateful that my personality was the engine that brought me here. And so I practice soul consciousness and come to the awareness of the mastery of the physical senses and my own inner faculties. Now, let me try another experiment. With the power of my mind, I step away from this physical body of mine, so that I, the soul, become the observer of the body, sitting here quietly. I, the soul in this body, play my role as an actor in this unlimited world drama. But I can also step outside my skin, just simply with the power of my thoughts, and be the observer. And I observe myself sitting here quietly. I wonder, would it be possible to keep this awareness of being detached from the body and being the observer. When I go for tea, when I meet others, when I engage with others, I'll try that later. But now, sitting quietly, it's easy. Detach, observe, and come back. As an observer, I see the bigger picture. As the actor, I'm totally engrossed in what I do. But as the observer, I notice what's going on all around me, so that my response can be an appropriate one. And now I try a third experiment in soul consciousness. I let my thoughts go beyond this physical body, beyond the physical dimension, to a world of light, a place of unlimited silence. A place that has no walls, where my gaze can stretch into infinity. A place of total purity, of peace, of stillness. My home. A place that feels familiar. The home to which I belong. The one home of my entire unlimited family. And from this place of silence and peace, I look down and I see the globe of the human planet slowly revolve down below. And all the games, the dramas, the sorrows, the joys, the victories, the defeats, all have happened. All the stories of humanity have been played out on this stage. But for a few moments, I can watch this from a vantage point up above. And now, having touched that place of silence, I choose to return back onto the world stage to this particular costume that I occupy. And return to the moment, here and now. But I carry with myself this awareness of who I am and where I belong. And I come back here not only to play my role, but also to continue my journey as a traveler, able to go home whenever I choose. Thank you. Maybe there were concepts that were a little bit different to the ideas that you used to have, and they can be explored later on. But essentially, these three stages of soul consciousness are the foundation for our spiritual journey. The practice of soul consciousness, being the master of the self through the day, again and again reminding the self so that it's not my physical senses that lead me astray, but I, the soul, am the master and I choose how to use my physical senses. I know that before starting my own spiritual journey, I would never have thought that I was separate from my physical senses. And so even that belief is a big, big turnaround. Body and soul, two separate entities coming together to be the human that I am. And so the practice to come back here again and again is absolutely vital. And not even for my spiritual journey, but I would say to maintain sanity in life. Many crazy things go on in the world, but every time I come back here, I'm the master again, firstly of the senses, but also with practice, the master of my mind, my feelings, my emotions, the master of my beliefs, because we've absorbed so many beliefs from others around us, from media, from all the things that we're exposed to today. And we're exposed to a lot more than we used to be 50 years ago or 100 years ago. And so we've absorbed all of those beliefs. Sometimes we challenged them, sometimes we didn't. But now it's a very big challenge. It's 180 degrees turnaround from thinking, this is who I am, to becoming aware, I'm just a point of light, a very different awareness. And then the stage of being, the observer. I see what's going on, but I'm detached. The word detach is maybe one of the most misunderstood words in the language, because people are scared of this word, detachment. Does it mean going off somewhere? Does it mean leaving the people I love behind? No. Detachment is to be detached from this costume of mine, and also then to be in charge of what I do through this. We get too engrossed in situations, and then they have a huge impact on us. But to be detached means to step away, see what's going on, and then decide how I should respond. No fears, no attachments, no ego. Otherwise, all of those things get mixed up in our responses. We detach, and I can see what would be the most beneficial thing for me to do. And then the third. And there's an awareness that many people have of belonging to some place beyond. And I've been very pleased to see that even where people don't consciously understand who is God, or even have set aside that notion of God, but somehow there's something inherent within the human spirit that makes them aware that there's a place beyond. And maybe some have had that experience in a very profound way. Some have just understood it and from time to time had a little glimpse of it. But for sure, there is a place beyond the physical dimension, which is the home of all souls. Doesn't matter color, race, ethnic background, anything. Doesn't matter. We all belong to the one home, and it's truly one family. And there's the awareness of total oneness. And I want to introduce another idea now. And I'm sure everybody's reflected on this concept. Some have had a very deep experience. Some have been left wondering, well, does God exist at all? If you see the news of what's going on, then you say, if there is a God who is loving and merciful and compassionate, why is all this happening? So I'd like to touch upon the subject of God, because it's absolutely central to the whole subject of Raj Yoga. The word yoga means union, connection. And so we've known about Hatha Yoga. Usually that's the one that gets publicized, even with the International Yoga Day. And I'm very pleased that that's come onto the world scene. But yet, a lot of emphasis is 5,000 people sitting in meditation, in postures that are not the usual comfortable postures you like to have, or some people performing exercises and again, doing amazing things with their bodies. And all of that's wonderful. And Hatha Yoga is great for physical health and the remedy for many, many different ailments, for sure. But the word yoga actually means union, and that implies it's two that come together. So yoga is actually yoga with the divine. And in Raj Yoga, we would say yoga is the highest form when it is the yoga with the Supreme. There can be other aspects of yoga, and we can touch upon them in a minute. But Raj Yoga, the union with the Supreme, but also Raja, the King, the Sovereign, the mastery over the Self, but also the highest amongst all the yogas. And so it includes Karma Yoga, the yoga of action. It includes the discipline of Hatha Yoga. Hatha, the force, the discipline. So it includes that. The Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of love, of devotion. Buddhi Yoga, the yoga of the intellect. So all the different components of yoga are contained within Raj Yoga. And so we explored the subject of the soul, and that really is the first step of Raj Yoga. Do I believe in the soul? Well, I am a soul, but do I believe that? And so maybe the journey starts right there. Do I recognize that there's something else that is not visible, that isn't physical, that is spiritual? And if I come to that awareness that, yes, there is, and I come to the awareness that I don't have a soul. Did I speak correctly? I don't have a soul? It's correct, because I am a soul. I, when I say I, that's the inner being. So the inner being speaks and says, I am a soul, and I, the soul, have a body. The body can't speak and say, I have a soul. So it's a little bit topsy-turvy, but I am a soul. And it's a very different awareness to the consciousness of the body. Many, many things have to be dropped. Let go, let go, let go. Lots and lots and lots of things. Then I come to just this awareness of this inner being. And what I have is peace and love and truth and joy and purity. These are my only possessions. I have nothing else. And in that awareness of who I am, then I'm open. I can be aware of the presence of the Divine. In this consciousness of the body, this is a big, big block. And there's no connection, there's no awareness, there's no sense of the presence of the Divine. Very simple example. You have a radio receiver and you're tuned to a particular frequency, but there's lots of other frequencies around and you're not interested in those. What you're interested in is just the one that you're tuned to. And so in body consciousness, the awareness of the physical consciousness, then I'm not aware of anything beyond. It exists. Radio waves exist. Electric currents exist. All sorts of energies are present here in the room. They exist, but I can't see them with my physical eyes. But I need the right instruments to be able to be aware of them. And if my receiver set is tuned to the awareness of the soul, then in soul consciousness, I can be tuned to catch the vibrations of the Supreme. The Supreme is not a physical being. The soul is not a physical being. So the Supreme Soul definitely isn't. But yes, I have taken a body, and so I can connect with other humans. The Supreme, the only way to reach that being is when I detach from the consciousness of the physical. Then I become aware of this being who is the Supreme, not in size, not in any external dimension, but in qualities. A flower can be here, but its fragrance can be experienced all around. You don't have to come near. Sometimes you get such strong lilies that as soon as you enter the room, you catch their fragrance. Downstairs, there's a particular place by the wall of this building where they have a creeping plant, and it's called Raat Ki Rani, the Queen of the Night. And when it's dark, you can smell the fragrance even before you get close to that wall. And so, size of something and quality are not necessarily aligned together. Whatever the size may be, the quality can extend far, far beyond those limits. And so the form of the Supreme Soul, just as is the form of the soul, a point of light. But the qualities of the Supreme, vast, immense, unlimited. And so we use the term the ocean of love. So much love that the entire human population can tune in and each one can experience the power of love in a very personal way and use that power of love for transformation of the human spirit. A love that's able to heal, a love that's able to remove whatever sorrow you may be carrying from the past, from the present, whatever it is. A love that's able to open up your heart and allow you to forgive. Maybe you knew that forgiveness was important, but maybe you didn't have the capacity to be able to do it. Somehow the sorrow kept holding on to that feeling, and that image and that scene and that person stayed with you. But now, as I taken from the Divine that experience of unlimited love, and I feel my own sorrow dissolving and being removed, then I also feel my own heart stretching and growing. And in that experience, I can let go. I can allow that person to leave me, and I can be free. I hadn't realized that I was holding myself in bondage by keeping that image with myself. And now with the power of God's love, I set myself free. The power of peace. So much peace that I fill myself with it. And even where there's chaos, not only am I able to maintain my own inner state of peace, but I'm able to actually bring calm to others around me and allow them to become peaceful and fearless also. As the situations in the world get more and more chaotic, and I think they will, we're going to be needing more and more the power of love, the power of peace, to be able to maintain our own inner stability and to be able to give those to others also. So that connection, that union, Raj Yoga, that relationship, is the one in which I'm able to draw the love that God has, the peace that God has, the purity, the truth, the joy. All of these treasures become available to me to an unlimited extent. So much happiness that you can make others start smiling. They come to you with a frown, or even maybe with tears. and you're able to spark that happiness within them and allow them to rise up above, beyond. So yoga is for me, absolutely, benefit for myself, but yoga is also then my contribution for others. What is it that I can do to serve others? Whatever else I do will be finite. Whatever else I do, I'm going to run out. Time, energy, money, whatever, whatever. But if I'm connected, then the way in which I can serve individuals, but also the world, is through sharing with them God's light and God's love and all the treasures that they want to experience in their life. So yoga is powerful. Yoga is transformative. Whoever you're in company with, they have an influence over you, right? Positive, maybe not positive, but there's always an influence, you on them and them on you. But in the connection with God, the relationship with the Divine, the influence of God on the soul is a very powerful, positive influence in which I'm able to go very quickly on that journey from the state of impurity to the state of total purity and perfection. And this is what yoga is about. It's not just a few minutes of relaxation. Yes, you feel very relaxed. It's not just for good health. Yes, it'll teach you many things about health. But it's actually for the process of transformation. Some scriptures call it from being silver mixed with alloy to becoming pure silver again. Other scriptures describe it as the gold mixed with alloy and the purification process, and all the alloy falls away, melts away, and you return to your original state of pure gold. So whether I want to be pure silver or pure gold is my choice, but I come back to that original state of purity. And so on the one hand, we can experience these qualities of God. And on the other hand, and I've just mentioned a few, some say there are 99 qualities of God, and each one is important, but maybe compassion is the most important. Well, just imagine having access, unlimited access to 99 qualities. And being able to absorb them all. Other scriptures say that the praise of God is so unlimited that if you were to turn the whole of the earth into paper, and if you were to take all the trees and turn them into quills, and all the ocean and turn it into ink, you still wouldn't be able to write the complete praise of God. So, however I describe it, but the connection, the yoga with God, gives me access to all of this. But the other way to make it very, very personal is to be able to have a relationship. What is my relationship with the Divine? Is it a relationship in which I go knocking on God's door once a year? Diwali, Christmas, Eid? What do? Once a year? Probably for those who are here today, no. Once a month? Once a week? Once a day? I'll share with you what Dadi Janki says when she's asked, "Dadi, how long do you meditate?" Her answer is, "Ask me how long I don't meditate." And my hope is that you'll still be able to see her at some point through your time here. At the moment, she's out of action, just for a few days. But I'm sure that there'll be an opportunity to meet with her and catch a glimpse of her. 103, and still with us, and until a few days ago, giving lectures. We had a conference downstairs at our big campus where we had, I don't know what the final figure was, but somewhere between 10 to 15,000 people. And Nadi was meeting the conference delegates every single day, sometimes twice a day, and individuals in between. So she's still very much aware and alert. And that's the power of yoga. So what is the relationship I have with the divine? Is it one in which I feel that presence with me constantly in a very conscious way, and I'm able to keep that relationship as the most central thing in my life? Or is God somewhere on the periphery of my life? Or is God absolutely central? And even if up until now, God has been someone, something I only think about from time to time. But my hope is that the things that are shared here and the experiences you have here will give you something very powerful and tangible to carry away and experiment with further and further, so that the relationship becomes stronger and stronger till it is the union which is continually with you. So God can be my mother. Many say God is the father, but in fact usually the first relationship of every child is with the mother. And I think it's also true in our relationship with the divine. The mother, the one who's able to accept me unconditionally as I am. The soul doesn't have a physical form. God doesn't have a physical form. And so if you're holding on to a masculine image, well, set it aside for a little while. Yes, the prophets have been in masculine form. The founders of religions have had a masculine form. But God, the mother and the father. Not just the mother, but mother and the father. And so the mother, the one who takes you as you are. Maybe even you don't know exactly what's going on inside of you. I know that before I began my journey, I had very little idea of what was actually in here. It was a gradual discovery and discovering more and more and more as you keep going on. But sometimes there are pleasant surprises, and sometimes the surprises are not so pleasant. But that's okay, it's part of the journey. And the power of God's love carries you through that, especially through the moments when you discover things about yourself that are not very nice, the dark bits that were hidden away from you. But it's okay. The mother accepts me, knowing me, even though I don't know myself. And in that acceptance of love, there is total transformation. Because the soul has the sense of being accepted and belonging, there's total safety. You know, in English sometimes they use the expression, the fear of God. And they use it in different ways. But here, we never talk about the fear of God. We talk about the love of God. Not even love for God, but God's love for us. In fact, my personal experience is that if I hadn't experienced God's love for me, my love for God would have come slowly. But as it was, the powerful experiences of God's acceptance and God's love ignited something within the soul, And so the love for God emerged in a very powerful way, very quickly. And so it wasn't an intellectual process of thinking and working it out and saying, well, who could have taught me all these things? Or who could have helped me in these situations? It wasn't an analysis. It was just a very powerful response from the inner being of the soul that I'm receiving such love, and the being who is offering such love is the one I love also. And so the mother and the father, definitely an important factor. And the father, the one who has an immense property that he wants to give me. What do you think that property is? Palaces? Gold and diamonds? Oh, God has none of those. This point of light has no possessions. And I, the soul, the point of light, am not going to carry any of the things from here with me when I go. And even today, whatever I have, I don't know how long I'm going to have it. It can disappear any moment. But the treasure that God gives me is that of happiness. Happiness that you could not have imagined was possible. A happiness that stays with you no matter what may happen. Whatever else is going on, it's out there. But the happiness is something that the soul carries within itself. And there's a very interesting connection between soul consciousness and happiness and sorrow when there isn't soul consciousness. When we forget this identity and we get into the ego of this, one of the things that you can identify immediately is a sense of sorrow, a sense of inner pain. So anytime you're feeling any pain, I'm not talking about physical pain, that's another situation to deal with, and yoga definitely increases your tolerance capacity to deal with that also. But the inner pain that the soul feels when the soul is hurt. And so the sorrow that you're experiencing at that moment, just ask yourself the question, am I soul or am I the body? And if you just pause and go back inside and become the soul, you'll feel connected again with that treasure store that is there within the soul that has come from the divine happiness. Any ego is going to result in pain. And in soul consciousness and God consciousness, there's only going to be love. That's it. And happiness. These two experiences are there in the soul. In body consciousness, lack of connection with my own inner treasures, and there's going to be inferiority, there's going to be an emptiness, there's going to be a neediness. I need, I want, always an emptiness. And in soul consciousness and God consciousness, I have everything that I need. I need nothing more at all. In soul consciousness and God consciousness, the experience of stillness and peace. And in body consciousness, a mind that's racing, racing, racing all the time, doesn't know how to stop, doesn't know when to stop. And so there's very practical experiences through which you can gauge whether you're in that inner eternal consciousness or external physical limited consciousness. So check yourself out and see for yourself. And the more you check yourself, the easier it'll be to change to that which you would like to be. If I'm not checking, then the change is difficult. But when I keep checking, then the change happens very naturally and easily. And so God is my mother, God is my father, God is my teacher. We haven't usually thought about God as being a teacher. We've had many different terms of love and adoration for God. But God, my teacher, teaching me to know myself, teaching me about who the Supreme is, teaching me about karma philosophy. It's an interesting subject that's going to be coming up in the next few days. Teaching me about the story of the cosmos. Again, more to come. So the teacher who truly has all knowledge, all truth. My relationship with the teacher, the more I recognize the value of this teacher, the more I'm able to understand and absorb and become the same. They say two things about God. God is love and God is truth. And sometimes they say, well, truth is love, truth is God, love is God. But God is the being who holds truth and love. And as I connect with God and recognize God as a supreme teacher, I'm able to absorb more and more knowledge so that I begin to move on the path of wisdom and I come to that full recognition of the truth. Again, just as the journey of the soul is a very interesting one, and time is not in material time. It's not in terms of days and weeks and months, but it's time in terms of how deeply I want to go into this experience. And so within a week, there can be amazing things. Within a year, maybe it's only been a few steps. So it just depends on the individual and what my own interest and my own hobby is. And if my interest is to understand and move forward, I'll do it fast. If my hobby is to experience yoga, I'll be able to go deeper and deeper into that experience also. So yes, one can come to that state of perfect truth. As the creation of God, we've been told we were created in the image of God, right? That sort of idea comes in all the different traditions. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean in the image of the human being, because half the world's population would then lose out. But soul, the supreme soul, to what extent am I the image, the reflection of the supreme? Am I able to reflect that peace, that love, that truth, that purity, that joy? I should be, if what the scriptures are saying is something I believe, then I should be able to get there, to be the perfect image, and I believe it's possible. I've had the good fortune of meeting the founder whose picture you see in many places. And I first met him when I was young and then through my teenage years and then before he left in 1969. So I saw him at different phases and you could see the changes that were happening. A human, no more, no less human. But you could see the changes. And then a certain point of time, in 1968, I met him three times. And at that time, you could see almost the perfect image, the reflection. So it's possible for all of us. Maybe let me take it one day at a time. Let me start with peace. So see, between now and tomorrow, can you be the reflection of God's peace? Possible? If anywhere is possible, it should be possible in Mount Abu. When you go out into the bazaar, maybe it's not possible. but certainly here on the campus it is possible. So try it. I'm just going to tell you one more thing which isn't theory, but is very practical, but it deals with a certain belief that we've had for a long, long time. Some would say that God is inside and outside. Some would say God is all around, everywhere. Some would use the term omnipresent. And we would say, everywhere I look, I see souls, but God is up above. And we had a little experiment at the beginning to experience going beyond the physical dimension to that home. Not only is it our home, it's also the home of the divine, the parent with the children. And that place is a place of peace and silence, and that is God's abode. Wherever we are here, we can experience the presence of God. It's again that radio receiver, you tune in, and wherever on the planet you may be, here or down below in Australia, doesn't matter. Wherever we are, if we tune in, we go beyond and we make that connection. And so wherever we are, we can experience God's presence, we can experience God's love, we can experience God's help and protection, all of that. But the actual abode, which is the home of the divine, is the one beyond this physical dimension, another dimension, which is the dimension of light. And so taking my mind there means I can connect with God without any distraction. Here in the physical domain, there's many distractions. But let me take my mind beyond, and then I make that real connection in which I'm able to immediately draw God's qualities and God's power within myself. The one who's all-knowing, because he isn't involved in all the tangles of birth and death and human karma, we get tangled up and so we forget. But the one above birth and death and all of this, and so the one who's able to keep that knowledge, that truth, eternally, forever. It's a very different concept to what we've been told in recent times. But again, experiment with it and see where it takes you. And so the one who's all-knowing, the one who can be present for each one of us, but a very personal relationship. And of course, when there's a personal connection, there's an exchange, a give and take. When it's impersonal and abstract, it's a little bit easier because then there's no personal responsibility. But somebody once said that when I have a personal relationship with the divine, it means I have to let go of my ego and become very humble and obedient. And so that's one of the reasons why for a long time now we've dispensed with the idea of a personal God and accepted this image of this abstract energy or force or whoever it is that's all around. That the personal relationship is what brings me personal benefit. And then yes, there is a return of responsibility. And we can take that up another time. Let me stop here and see if there are questions you would like to have and comments you'd like to make. And then I'd like us to have a few minutes of meditation also.
I'm Shanti sister. Thank you very much for explaining nicely. I have just a bit clarification regarding Supreme. You mentioned that it is like a divine light, point of light, and what we experience is the fragrance of all the qualities. Could just clarify a bit more when we do yoga, when we experience those qualities, or we merge with the light?
When you focus on that point of light, you're making contact. And then it's not just seeing an image, but it's an experience. You begin to experience the mother, the father giving you love, giving you joy. You experience God carrying you and giving you that sense of protection and blessings. So the focus has to be the point of light so that I'm not distracted by anything else. But then the experience goes into many different experiences of what is there within that point of light.
Om Shanti. I come from a religious tradition where they teach us that God punishes us. Can you please comment?
My experience is that God is the God of love. And when I've done something wrong, I can feel the backlash of that, both immediately in terms of the pain that I experience, and then of course the way things are today, souls have got so hardened to this that even when the pain comes, they ignore it. And so they carry on doing crazy things. But generally, the human soul is such that it immediately feels the realization, the reaction of that pain and suffering for what it's done. But also, the karma that I've done is going to come back to me in some form or another, cause and effect. I eat too much chocolate, what's going to happen? There's going to be a reaction. And so I step out of the line of the code of conduct and I give sorrow to another. That sorrow is going to come back to me, not necessarily from that person, but in some way or another. And so it's not God who punishes, it's our own karmic return of whatever it is we've set into motion. God helps, God protects, and God teaches. And so at this moment, God's teaching is, okay, whatever you've done, finish the account of that with the power of yoga, but from now on, don't give sorrow to anyone.
Om Shanti, thank you for your beautiful talk. When you said you stepped aside or go beyond, does your soul leave your body?
Can you repeat all that again?
Hold
the microphone.
Yeah, sorry. So you said you step aside in the second stage, or you go beyond. Do you leave your physical body?
Okay. I'm moving my thoughts away from my physical body. If I, the soul, were to leave, the doctors would have a problem. Because soul and body are together for life. And if the soul were to leave, there wouldn't be life anymore. So we're not leaving the body. But with the power of the mind, we're detaching from the body and we're letting the mind go to that dimension where the body cannot go. The body can travel within the physical dimension, but no more. But the power of thought, the power of the mind, can go beyond the physical dimension. And so think about that home, the world of light, and your thoughts can take you there. But you don't leave the body. We don't want anyone to leave their body.
Om Shanti. I've got a question when we sit in meditation, Raja Yoga meditation, they say when you sit in a meditation, just imagine the point of light is coming to you, the God's light. But sometimes it's hard to visualize. So if we sit in a meditation and say we're just talking to Him, is this a meditation as well, or this where I get confused? Thank you.
We use visualization, but if I believe I'm a soul, and so the process of studying spiritual teachings is so that I use my intellect, then it's not just imagination, but I understand and I have the faith I'm a soul. And yes, I can feel it. I can understand I'm a soul, a point of light. I'm not imagining it, but I know I am a soul. I am a being of light. Okay? Second step, in the same way, I've thought about it and I've gone through various ideas and now I'm accepting that idea that just as a soul is a point of light, God is also a point of light of consciousness. And now I'm communicating with that being. And so conversation, yes, definitely. Don't just visualize a point of light in empty space and say, I'm not going to think anymore. That would be very difficult. But why we are talking about relationships, so that it becomes a human reference. Now, God isn't a physical mother. God isn't a physical father. The things God is giving me are not physical. But we're using these human terms to make it easier for us to be able to connect. And so, yes, let me talk to my mother. Let me talk to my father and my teacher. There's many other relationships to explore. The friend, the guide, the gardener, the jeweler, many different relationships. But just looking at these, mother and father and teacher, even just these are very powerful and transformative. So let me start a conversation. And what happens is that as you begin to make contact and the connection is made, your thoughts slow down. Then it's not quick thoughts, they're slow. And the experiences coming in more and more. So that it's not just me reaching out to God, but God is also reaching out to me. It's a union. And so then the experience is more important than just the thinking. But we begin with the thinking to be able to go in that direction.
And then we can stay in that sort of a stillness, that's the connection. Because once we stop the conversation, say, and then I think sort of the connection is made, so we don't have to visualize. It's just a state of being, and the experience of love is a...
The visualization is a step in the direction to be able to make the connection and then the experience.
Thank you.
I'm sure that in your small groups you can talk about this in more detailed ways and it will help you further. So I'm recommending that you all attend your small group sessions.
Enchanté. I understood that we don't have soul. We are soul. Thank you for that. But what about the animals? What about the plants? What is their relationship with the soul?
The relationship of my thoughts and the being. Have I understood correctly? Is that what your question is?
No. I am soul. And what about the animals? Does they have soul?
Animals, okay. Animals have souls. Animals have feelings. Animals are alive. Animals are creatures of life. And I'm not sure that they think in the way we do in terms of analysis. Probably their thinking is much simpler and less complicated. And this is why sometimes people feel more comfortable with animals than with humans. But yes, animals have souls, animals think and feel, but maybe in a much simpler way. And having said that, somebody sent me a little video yesterday, and it's a 2-minute clip of an elephant who's learned to paint herself, draw a picture of herself. And whatever the trainer has done, I've no idea, but the trainer is standing there just handing her fresh brushes with more paint, and she's drawing a picture of herself, and she's even putting her name. So there are animals that think quite deeply and animals that don't forget.
So thank you, Sister Jenty. Other questions I'm sure you have, but we'll address those in the reflection groups and general connections afterwards. But the value that we have with our dear Sister Jenty is that she will now lead us briefly to connect with the Supreme, and then unfortunately we have to let her go. She has some other duties to attend to. So if you would like to give a little round of applause for Jenty.
Let the body relax, so your shoulders come down and you have both feet on the ground and the body is balanced. No music. And I'll speak out my thoughts in meditation and invite you to follow those ideas. Sitting quietly, the body relaxed, I focus my thoughts in the center of the forehead. I come to the awareness of the inner being, the soul. Aware of myself, the light shines. Aware of myself, I find that sacred space inside where there is peace. I stay in this awareness of peace, which feels natural and comfortable. And in this awareness, I feel the presence of the Divine. The Supreme, the Being of Light. I stay focused on the source of light, and I realize that this light is the light of love. And the Supreme Mother's love reaches out and touches the soul. And surrounded by this love, I absorb this love within myself. And I realize this is the love that had been missing in my life. Pure love. Healing love. Purifying love. Love that's able to fill all the empty spaces inside myself. I fill myself with love. To such an extent that I too can be the embodiment of love. Love that removes all barriers. Love that fulfills all expectations. Love that carries me beyond everything limited. And the power of love reaches out to each one of the human family. And whoever seeks this love is able to feel it and absorb it. And even those who have not been seeking also find. Love that reaches not only human souls, but love that reaches all living beings and offers them safety and protection. Love that reaches out to all the elements of nature. And nature becomes calm, and the love removes the anger. So that nature removes all troubles and returns to harmony. Love that encompasses the entire planet. Connected with the Supreme Teacher, the Teacher gently guides me out of confusion to clarity, out of ignorance to understanding, out of illusion to reality. I hold the truth that God teaches me in my awareness. And as I follow the path of knowledge, I come to a state of wisdom, and eventually to truth. God's light of knowledge removes the darkness and carries us into the day, the light. I hold this experience of love and truth with myself, come back to the awareness of the present moment, here and now, but I know I can keep this connection with myself and with the Divine, even after I leave this room and do the things I need to do. I just need to remind myself to stay aware. Om Shanti. Thank you.